I barely ever played Horde. I was always
Horde's
an Alliance
the best.
Guy.
Get the fuck out of here. I'm sorry. Hey, welcome to episode 171 of Front Seat Gamer. I'm here with Paul.
Hey.
And Blake.
Hey.
Oh, and I'm Nick, I guess. I forgot to mention that.
You are Nick. And so, you
we think.
Will always be Nick.
As far as people are aware, I'm Nick. As far as legal documents are concerned,
yep.
I'm Nick. It's been a little while.
It has. And it's my fault.
Yeah. This is, you know, sometimes it's my fault.
Sometimes. But
like
not.
I go on vacation or I'm sick.
Yeah.
It's never been Paul's fault.
No, I think it was. Wasn't the first one my fault? The first weekend? Yes, because it was my birthday and Stacey was like...
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't go do a podcast. And I was like, I could just go do a podcast though. And she was like, no.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you didn't.
I lost that argument.
Yeah. Which, you know, probably safe. There are some arguments, you know.
That aren't worth, yeah.
It's just, you pick your battles, right?
Yep.
But then... Blake, you had family over, and then you had family over, and then you had friends over.
Yes.
And,
now I finally have the first free weekend.
I think you just specifically hated us 1 week, and just like, no, I don't.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, that's
those
every...
weird messages that were just like, fuck you, fuck you.
Yep, that's every weekend, but I, you know, I get through it.
It was a lot.
More than
two
normal.
2 days. Like, how did you send them at like 3 a.m.?
Well,
yeah.
You know, we live in this head rent-free. Video games.
Video game.
Yeah.
Video games.
Some of them have come out.
Some. Do you want to talk about BlizzCon?
Yeah. Okay.
Although I was just saying...
Here's the thing. I didn't watch it. and honestly, you know, I glanced at what came out. I saw, you know, there's Warcraft Rumble, which I did download and I've played a fair bit of.
Yeah.
There was a Warcraft announcement for Classic. We were, like, doing basically seasonal content, right?
Yep.
There's like a new expansion, I think maybe. There's always a new expansion.
Yep.
So. Yeah, I think they announced 3 expansions.
Yeah,
as
they did.
Part of some big one, big
oh, okay.
plan expansion thing.
Yeah, like an ongoing story.
Yep.
That's cool. I think there was like some Overwatch stuff that I probably didn't care about.
Yeah, there was loads of Overwatch stuff. I skipped over that.
So I'm gonna guess there was nothing for StarCraft.
Nothing for StarCraft. There was a teaser trailer for Diablo expansion.
Okay.
Going to the jungle.
Okay.
Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah.
Again.
They play that song?
They should have. I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
It would have really worked well with the theme of Diablo, I think. Uh-huh. Like, just...
We've got fun and games.
Yeah, yeah. Fun and games.
We've got everything you want.
Yeah.
Loot, specifically.
Yeah.
Nothing for Diablo Immortal.
Nothing for Diablo Immortal. It was a lot of Warcraft, World of Warcraft stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty much all World of Warcraft stuff.
I think they know where their money is coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that's where they're putting their focus.
That announcement of 3 expansions is pretty great, though.
But you don't play Warcraft.
Is it still great
for you?
Oh, yeah, well, here's the thing, is that I don't play Warcraft, but I have friends that do, and they just keep me up to date with the story.
Okay.
And I'm just like, oh,
dude,
yeah,
you'll
I
never
feel
guess
like
what
I'm playing.
I did.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So I feel like I've played it.
Okay.
Even though I've not played it
in
ages.
That might be the best way to ingest Warcraft content.
Yeah.
Just secondhand through a friend telling you the best story beats.
Every time, though, when a new expansion is announced, I'm always like, oh, maybe I should like get back into it. Maybe I should. And then I never really do.
I think about it from time to time. But now I have a family.
Yeah.
And so there's no time for that.
But
I also think about like what that gameplay actually entails.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of waiting around.
There's a lot of waiting.
There's a lot of waiting.
But there's a lot of stuff to do now. Way more than there used to be. Back in the day, there was only fishing to do while you waited.
Now you can do other things.
I'm
talking about waiting. I'm talking your combat. Your basic
combat
is going through your cooldowns, waiting for your cooldown, like or cast
the
timer.
The way I play. So you play a warlock, eh, Paul?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Like just quickly for context, I'm like level 30 or something. And classic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I stopped playing ages ago and like Burning Crusade pretty early on. Burning Crusade, and hadn't played until recently. So I don't remember a lot. Most of my waiting during gameplay is looking around terrified because the world is like quite scary in Old World.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this in the past, but my memories of Classic WoW are going up to the Argent Dawn tents on the North Lord Aeron. What is that called?
Tristful Glade?
Tristful Glades.
And there's like, it's right next to the Plaguelands.
Yeah.
And there's a bear that will destroy you.
Oh, yep. Man.
It's like level 50 and you're level 10. And you have no idea it's level 50 because it just has a big skull.
Yeah.
And you just get one shot.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Old
WoW has some rough edges, which I honestly like.
Seeing the skulls, I remember like me and my friends would like way back in Classic when it first came out, we would, explore around, right? Go into areas that we were way too low level for, and we'd see skulls. And then I'm sure you could even see occasionally like a double skull.
No, that wasn't a thing.
That wasn't. No. I swear it was.
No, a skull was the universal representation of your two. It's 10 or more levels.
No, but I'm sure that when you were like really lower, you could see double skulls. I swear there was like double skulls.
I think you needed glasses.
Maybe.
But that get so scared you go cross-eyed.
Yeah. I was just like, whoa,
yeah. Oh, there's four of them now.
But that was the sense of exploration back then was like incredible. I loved it so much. We just run through areas that we had no business being in, being chased by like all sorts of like dragons and ogres, and that was so great.
I remember back then when like if you were a fast leveler, you'd sometimes like I remember going to the Horde starting area. I was just making a sort of an alt or whatever, and some like level 60 paladin,
just
gone there, toggled on his PvP, and was staying there with like level 4 and 5 dudes trying to wail on him.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, completely impervious to their attacks. Like occasionally he would use like a light heal or whatever.
Yeah.
And just let them wail on him and then he would just leave. Oh, or he would use like a consecrate and kill everybody.
It's so great. There was a time before we knew basically like how the world worked that because I played Alliance and I remember the starting area, like Alwyn got invaded by a bunch of high-level Horde players.
Yep.
And we had no idea where they'd come from.
Yeah.
And we thought that they'd come over some mountains or something, which they wouldn't have.
No.
But we had no clue where, like, how any travel between anywhere worked. So we were like, oh, maybe they came over these mountains. And me and my friends were, like, patrolling around this mountain. Like
little level 8s going, oh, we'll stop them.
And then the same thing happened in Westfall where one of my mates was like patrolling the beach because he thought that they'd come on a boat or something.
Amphibious assault.
Yeah, he thought it was like a beach landing, like a Normandy beach landing.
So you're playing. Are you excited for the seasonal content, Paul?
I'll probably try it. I don't really know what I'm excited for because I kind of started playing vanilla on like a whim anyway.
Yeah.
And as far as like whatever the direction of the game is and what the seasonal stuff is, I don't know if I'll like that at all. Like I'm enjoying Classic for the nostalgia. Right.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know if I actually like WoW.
Want a new gameplay twist. You want the old. You want
for
classic.
Now, yeah.
Does the fact I'm that not Burning Crusade's coming out upset you? Not Burning Crusade, Cataclysm rather.
No, because that's on a separate timeline for the servers.
Oh, are they
so I'm playing like
it?
vanilla.
Mm, okay.
Where they just don't have any expansions.
Gotcha.
The other one, they went through the other expansions, but I have no interest in that because I never did it. And
so your pinnacle content is what, Naxxramas?
I don't even know if I'll play that long. Like I just want to level to 60 and have done that experience again after not for close to 20 years or whatever it is.
How, because I only realized this BlizzCon that vanilla is split into two like that, where there's the servers that progress through the expansions, and then there's one that just stays in Classic.
Yep.
How far, like, how much of Classic is in that Classic server?
Like, how many of the vanilla patches?
Yeah, like, is it the whole thing right up until Burning Crusade? Like, or is it?
It's definitely not the patch right before Burning Crusade, because that was when they changed all the skills and stuff
right.
Burning Crusade.
That's the patch that introduced Naxxramas, I think, right? Or
there was Nax, and then there was that Encourage.
AQ40 came before Nax.
Yeah,
was it?
It did.
Oh,
and that's in.
Okay,
and Nax is in.
Okay,
but that is the like the end content. they
must be the that must be the, it, all of it then.
I loved Encourage.
I never did it.
It was a divisive dungeon. It's huge.
Yeah,
there's lots of trash mobs. It takes forever. It's so big they gave players mounts to get through.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But the boss fight is what, and it's interesting about the boss fight is it is a trial and error fight to figure out how all the mechanics work.
You're
gonna die a ton of times.
Yeah,
and it requires spacing out your all the players, like they have to be equally spaced out.
Yep.
And but when you have that fight down, it is like a fun little dance.
That's cool.
And there's no fight I've played in an MMO that is anything comes close to that level of like choreography and
communication. Were you in a big guild then?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was in a 40-man guild. We were our server was not very good.
Yeah.
So we were way behind like all the other servers, but we were the top guild on our server for a while.
Oh, that's cool. I never joined a giant guild. It was just like me and my friends, and I think we got maybe to 30 people at the most, probably.
Mm.
It's enough to do like Zul'Gurub.
Yeah, we were able to do some stuff, but like we mostly just stuck to like the small regular dungeon things. Like raiding was like it was way too difficult to organize.
I'm sure I've told this story before, but when I was fairly early into World of Warcraft, and there was a guild that managed to get a bunch of level 60s fairly early on. It was a small guild.
Yeah.
And they were trying to work on Upper Blackrock Spire.
At that point,
you could bring, I think, 15 players in, and it was designed for, like, maybe 10 players.
Oh. But
you could bring up to 15.
Yeah.
And that guild was beating it on, like, 8 players.
Whoa.
So it was, like, pretty impressive. And I managed to join that guild. And then we started kind of getting subbed in on for other guilds that were trying to do Molten Core.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, oh, we need a few extra people. We'll grab them from this, like, pretty good guild.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was there for the first kill by this, like, guild of, like, the first boss in Molten Core.
Whoa.
And it was very exciting. They'd been trying for weeks and weeks and weeks to get this first boss in Molten Core. And it dropped mage boots. And I ended up getting them.
Oh!
And it caused so much drama in this guild.
Oh, my God.
The guild nearly fell apart.
That's so good.
And I think it was like within a few days that my computer broke, so I wasn't around to hear about the drama until weeks afterwards.
Wow, that's great. Way to go.
And that whole time you were just sitting on those boats while they're good. Guild is falling apart.
I had the mage set boots.
Nice.
One of the only pairs in the server.
That's so good.
no one can see it.
I did my only experience in Molten Core was joining a pickup group for it.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yes.
Like I was just in Ironforge, and this was long before the meeting stones or whatever, and you just looked at the thing and people would say, looking for people for Molten Core.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'll join. And it seriously spent like 2 or more hours, maybe 3, just organizing people.
Yeah.
Before even getting into the dungeon.
Yep.
And then in the dungeon was probably another 3 hours, and we didn't even get to the first boss.
Yeah,
it was just wipe after wipe after wipe.
Yeah. That in the early days of Warcraft, of World of Warcraft, people did not understand class roles. They did not understand crowd control.
No.
Threat.
And the other thing, threat. any sort of aggro management.
Yeah.
The other thing that the early days of World of Warcraft didn't have, which I think it became mandatory and they started introducing tools for, was like mods to like handle things like cursing players
or
notifying players of the mechanics that are coming up.
Yeah.
Mm.
The first fight of Molten Core, there's like a curse that you have to remove pretty quickly or it straight up kills players.
Yeah.
And someone pretty quickly, I think, made a mod that would auto-target players when you hit your, it's like a macro or whatever.
Yeah.
But you had to go to an external website and find this mod, download it, put it in your folder, whatever else. Otherwise, you have to, like, hawkishly watch all of the windows, look for a little curse icon. Like, oh, there, that guy got cursed.
I remember downloading mods just to have extra hotkeys on my like extra hotbars.
Yep.
Because the standard didn't have extras. You didn't have, now it's like standard. You have all these ones that like on the sides and stuff like that. But that didn't exist before. Yeah. You just had that row down the bottom.
Yeah.
And you could toggle like
different layers.
Different layers of it. That was it.
Yep. I forgot about
that. What a huge hassle.
I honestly think that like if Warcraft had been designed around a simpler UI, it would maybe be a better game.
Mm.
I think the fact that there are now, you know, 8 different bars.
Oh, it's nuts.
All these built-in, essentially mod-style things. Like, all those, like, macros that are doing the heavy lifting of game designers who don't want to deal with, like, players.
Yeah.
That would figure things out.
Yeah.
If they had just said, okay, you get one bar, and maybe you can rotate between them out of combat.
Mm.
That would be an interesting mechanic, where it's like you've got your utility bar for when you're out of combat.
Well, it's a thing of like they give you more skills than you can fit on the bar.
Yeah,
like that's already a problem.
That's
right. That's a clear problem right from the beginning. Of like,
I don't agree. That's only a problem if the game requires that you have access to all of those,
and it usually does.
Yes, that's
because there's items as well, not just skills.
Yeah.
There's items as well, and then very quickly before. Long before I hit level 60, everyone saw you. Nick just dropped his glasses and looked real suspicious about it.
I mean, yeah, they're just normal glasses. Those are spy glasses.
They're not X-ray glasses.
Why would I bring spy glasses? That's so weird. Anyway,
what was I ranting about? I've already forgotten.
The number of skills and items that you had to fit on a bar.
Yeah, before it even hit 60, I'd maxed out like that bar.
Yes.
And like, how is that just not how? How do designers just not go, this is a problem? I'll be like, nah, you just hit that little arrow and then you get another layer.
Yeah.
You just open the book and cast from there.
Yeah.
As a mage, making food, water, and portals, that was not an infrequent thing.
Yeah.
So have you guys played... what am I talking about? Of course you played Baldur's Gate. Baldur's Gate has a similar thing.
Yeah, but you could expand the bar really.
Yeah, I know, but... Yeah. They allow you to expand the bar.
Yeah. But
when I realized you could do that, blew my mind.
Hang on. I will also mention that Baldur's Gate has a hard limit on the number of spells you can bring into combat. And that is a mechanic. That's what I'm talking about, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, if part of World of Warcraft is you are making a build. You have a talent tree. You have all these spells, but you only spec into a narrow school of them, or you've got your defensive and offensive skills, and you got kind of spec into some and not others, right?
Yeah.
If part of that was you only have access to a number of skills, it would be a cleaner game.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would make it better though. Like, part of what's interesting about it is that there are like so many different things that you have available to use it and at one particular time.
Yeah.
Not just from like even the skills, but like all the items, all the potions, potions that share cooldowns. Yep. So you've got to make the decision whether to use a health or mana potion.
I think items you could separate out, right?
Mm.
Because they are not part of your build. They are an external factor that you can pursue. Any character can get any kind of potion, right?
Yes.
So it doesn't. There's no limiting factor there. But even there, they have actually set limits, right?
Right. The cooldowns. Yeah.
Cooldowns, or the fact that flasks, you can only have one flask active at a time, right? Or maybe that might be post.
No, you can run. You can run a boat
in vanilla. I think maybe you can
resist potions and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember there were limits to it though. Like you could
introduced some later.
There were some buff potions that didn't. You can only have one active at a time or something.
I think that was the case later. I think in vanilla. You could have any number of flasks active and they last through death. I think.
The flasks? Like no, they do go away when you die. The flasks.
Oh, maybe. All the buffs. Maybe that was the. This has been a long time. I remember grinding for materials to do, like, Molten Core and Blackwing Lair. Is that what it was
called? Yeah. Yep.
And I remember there was a change because it was pretty obscene the number of materials a standard player, if you wanted to like be pushing leading edge content, the number of materials you had to gather to be ready for a raid.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe the change was that you could only use one flask at a time, but the flask would persist through death.
Oh, maybe. I don't think that's in what I'm...
Interesting.
It's just, I've definitely died and lost all my potion buffs.
Potions and flasks are different. Flasks last, all, like, maybe it's 2 hours. They are...
Or
they
an hour, yeah, something like that.
They're powerful, like, they're like the pinnacle potions for a...
Yeah, maybe there's a difference in the high level ones.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely running, like, using, like, the 1 hour long ones.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's, yeah. Well, let's, look, if you're listening right now and we're sounding like idiots because...
Which, because we are a little bit.
There's that, and also it being 20 years.
This just falls into what you were saying, how the podcast is really just us guessing at, at things that we vaguely remember or, like, know about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, everything about this podcast.
Yeah.
Three idiots guessing.
We watched some BlizzCon and just kind of guessed it.
And we've already gone, like, off the rails of that. Now we're just talking about, like, classic WoW.
Let's talk about something else from BlizzCon, which is related to what we were just talking about. Okay. Warcraft Rumble.
Yeah.
Now, Paul and I have been playing. I wanted to bring up, there's, like, 50 or so different, like, creature cards and spell cards that you can eventually get currently.
Yep.
You don't get access to all 50 of those in the game. They have a hard limit.
Oh, do they?
Well, like you only get to bring 6 plus your leader in, right?
Into
a fight.
Yeah.
So
I thought you meant the number you could unlock in total.
Oh no, I'm pretty sure that they would. They definitely want players to have access to all of them because that's their whole business model.
Yep.
But like. I guess more what I'm saying is that's part of the restriction is part of the gameplay. And I think that's, I guess, what I'm getting back to in World of Warcraft is the restriction on the number of skills you can bring around with you could be part of the gameplay.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Warcraft Rumble.
Yes.
What do you reckon?
I like it. I think the PvE stuff is, like, very fun. The PvP, I don't understand. The thing is, PvE is all about like one good push, right? For the most part, you counter a couple things, get one good push, and that's pretty much it.
Okay.
You try that in PvP, it gets immediately countered. Blizzard. And then.
They throw Blizzard down and you're one good push.
That just means there's a different meta there's an actual meta then, right?
Yeah, and I can't figure it out. I'm just
Well, actually, I think more to Paul's point, and to Blake's, there is sort of a meta, but the meta is what matchup are you going to face?
Right.
And you don't... So, for context, for people who don't know what Warcraft Rumble is, if you've played Clash Royale, Warcraft Rumble is Clash Royale.
Yeah.
But they've got some PvP stuff, PvE stuff, rather. And it's good. It's like... Got that sort of Blizzard level of polish. It's buggy as hell in some ways. Like
user error title.
Dude, the number of crashes I faced.
Wow.
And that's really frustrating. In fact, yesterday I had a crash that happened at the start of a PvP game. And then I logged back in and the PvP game was still going.
Oh my god.
And so like I lost.
Yeah.
Of course.
Wow.
It is... it is a game that, much like any other card game, it really depends on who you end up facing. Now, in Clash Royale, if I remember correctly, when you're about to fight someone, in the load screen, you get to see what your opponent has in their deck.
I don't remember. It's been quite a while since I played Clash.
I think like both decks are basically shown on screen, and so you get pretty quickly an idea of what kind of fight you're going to play.
Yeah.
In Warcraft Rumble, you don't get that opportunity. And that means that the best decks tend to be cheesy, where it's like, I do some insane push and then stealth all my dudes. And you don't get a chance to respond, basically. like or I use a bunch of unbound minions, unbound things can appear anywhere in the map.
Hmm.
And it was really just about shuffling my hand until I get the right four unbound minions to take out your tower before you really get a chance to respond. Like, oh, my players dumped all their mana. I'm going to throw my unbound minions. That's and then I win.
Hmm.
That's really annoying. I think that having some transparency over what you're about to fight is important for making early decisions for a lot of decks that aren't just cheesy.
I fully agree with that because at the start of the game, I think you start with 8 gold, which is like the most that you're likely to have for quite a while after that point.
Yeah.
And how you spend that can completely decide the game.
Yeah.
And in fact, like most of the time does.
Yes. And also the card you have in your starting hand. Okay, so there's there's a unit that's like it's a kobold miner. And its whole thing is you throw it in down and it will walk past some ore and mine some extra gold for you. Mm. And the gold is how you build your minions, how you play your minions. And if you have a kobold miner in your opening hand, you can throw it down and claim some nodes really early and you'll get a gold advantage.
Mm.
And if you don't have the kobold miner in your opening hand, it might be 3 or 4 cards before you see it, and your opponent may have already played theirs. So your options really are you can try and counter their kobold miner, or you can like make a push. But
same deal for chests down the middle.
That's right, exactly. There's chests that contain gold.
Mm.
If you have a fast minion or an unbound minion, you can claim yours and your opponent's chests really fast. And if you don't, you kind of get screwed. So there's a few layers of randomness here that are like that can make a big difference to the early part of a match.
Yeah.
And if you're playing against a deck that is reliant on, for example, you spending all of your mana or all your gold. So I'm playing an unbound deck. The whole point of my deck is I play like 4 minions that appear basically at my opponent's tower and take it down before they have a chance to respond. They could respond by playing minions under their tower or spells. But because it's the early game, they might spend 5 gold trying to claim these early chests. I can pretty safely just dump a bunch of my minions after I see them play their minions.
Hmm.
And they don't know it's coming.
Yeah.
And they don't have a chance to really respond. Or maybe they do have a chance to respond, but their tower's already lost 80% of their
80%
of its health. And I can just like spam a couple spells later on to finish it off.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that any different to other card games where you don't know what you're up against?
Well, there are a few differences. One is most card games have a ramp, right? Like you start in Hearthstone, you start on 1 mana,
yeah,
and then you go to 2 mana, yeah, and then you go to 3 mana,
yeah.
In Magic the Gathering, you start with no land and then play land, and in Magic the Gathering, you know what your opponent's gonna play. In Hearthstone, you can see what your opponent's hero is in this game. But your opponent's hero in Hearthstone is often a good indicator of what their overall strategy is going to be. And in this game, I think it's less so
because
a lot of the powers are quite generic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm playing a, what's that? The Tauren dude.
Cairn.
Yeah. Cairn Bloodhoof. His power is all my units have 20% more health.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll play some tanks. You can kind of guess. I might not. I might just play a bunch of random stuff.
He also does good tower damage, right?
Cairn?
Yeah.
The unit?
Is he Siege? So. No. No. Okay.
No, there are
AoE. He does AoE damage in a line.
Yes, and he stuns.
Yeah.
And
that on its own is like enough of a reason to pick a unit. You could be playing a bunch of other stuff and not have it really relating to the
exact
health.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just, I think the PvP mode needs to provide more for players to plan their moves in advance.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it encourages a lot of cheesy play, especially at lower levels.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at high elo or whatever, high like PvP scores, there's like a refined meta and you can guess what a player is going to play based on their hero.
Yeah.
You wait. And you use your cards a little more conscientiously. But at low elos, it's just, I've either you're playing a cheese deck and you're going to lose,
mm.
or you're playing against a cheese deck and you're going to lose because you misplayed a card or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's just kind of like, do I get screwed over by my starting cards or do I actually stomp my opponent because they got screwed over?
Mm.
It's just, I think there's
work
to be done there.
Do you think a sort of standard anti-cheese meta would appear, though, after enough time? Like, I'm thinking...
I think it depends on the kind of cheese.
I'm thinking, like, it's not the same game at all, but, like, in StarCraft, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can have real cheesy openers, like little Zergling rushes and stuff like that, but there's people have developed counters to it so that even if they don't know it's coming, they can sort of prepare.
I think that it's a bit different. You don't have control over your minions
in this
game, right? You play them and they do whatever they're going to do.
Yeah.
Now there's...
And that's sometimes not what you want.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
The way minions are placed, if it's like a squad of minions, you don't have any visibility over how they're going to appear on the map until you've tapped the screen, basically. And at that point, the process is underway and you can't do anything. So, like, you might want your minion to be, like, sort of on the edge of its, like, of a specific territory so it goes in a certain direction. And if you're playing a squad, it might accidentally split that group.
Yeah, I've had that happen.
Or
a chest spawns and they just run, the back one just runs off to get the chest.
Yep.
Or it's your ranged dude that was sitting behind all the tanks.
Yep. Or or they walk back around a corner to go and attack another guy and get completely owned.
Oh no.
But you thought they'd be protected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you have no visibility over their aggro radiuses. There's like these height mechanics. Like a high ground unit can attack a low ground.
Yeah.
High ground range unit can attack a low ground unit. Any range unit can attack any flying unit unless the flying unit is on the high ground.
Yeah. So if it's higher than normal.
Yeah. And
slightly higher.
Yeah. And then there's like weird behaviors on ramps. Because it's not clear whether it's high ground or low ground.
Oh, boy. Yep.
And so sometimes you get a situation where a flying unit can attack a ranged unit when it's on the ramp.
Mm.
When you think it shouldn't be able to. Or whatever it is. Like, it's just... There's some weird edge cases that are not transparent.
But, like, and it's those cases that could cost you a match or, like, sway
potentially. I mean, certainly if you've played, like, a 4... gold unit.
Yeah.
You get one gold every like 2 or 3 seconds.
Mm.
That's like 10 seconds or 12 seconds of waiting.
And then your tanks are just running up with no DPS.
Yeah. Anymore. They have nothing to cover them and getting chipped away by a flying unit.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are people who love the PvP. I struggle to really enjoy the PvP.
Mm.
Yeah, it's one of the few like PvP games that I've played where really early on I started losing like 60% of my battles.
Yeah.
Like I am just going up and down and up. I'll win three with like, I don't know what's going on with the matchmaking.
The matchmaking is weird.
I'll win like three in a row against people that like barely do anything.
Yeah.
And then get set back and just get like stomped for three or four.
What's the... Is there a dominant strategy that keeps stomping you, or is it always something different?
No, it's match dependent.
They play the game better than I play the game.
I don't even think that's true.
It really feels like it. Like there's been a bunch of my losses are like I do something and get immediately countered, and I'm like, I just spent all my, and then like somehow their counter turns into like a massive push, and I was like, I should have seen that. I should have seen that coming.
But it's not. You couldn't have, right? You didn't know that they had those cards.
That's true.
And
okay.
I'm sure you've had wins where it's like I countered everything they did.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying it's like it's so matchup dependent, and you have no transparency over what you're actually facing until they've already deployed your strategy. You've already deployed yours.
Yeah.
And so it's just.
So it's really just you just. It's guessing in the dark at like what they yeah. could do until they've done it, and then it's over.
And there, you know, if you try and play conservatively, it means you don't get any of the like starting gold bonuses that are sitting around the map.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you get punished for that too.
Yeah.
So
and like even if you get them, like if your strategy is to counter, you can get that gold and then do nothing with it.
Yeah.
While you wait to deploy your counter to whatever they do.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's still value in that, but.
Yeah. Now the rating system you've mentioned, it is weird. So I think first of all, it's skewed by the fact that experience rewards through PvP are the most rewarding system in the game. You get, if you are winning games in PvP, you get tons of experience.
Yeah.
Way like 5 times
more. Well, what do you do with experience?
It's your cards level up and get stronger.
Okay.
And that's how you basically beat the PvE mode.
Right.
So the PvE mode is like the actual fun part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do leveled up cards affect PvP though?
They do.
So like how
only I think like at high player scores.
Right.
So I think I don't know what the exact calculation is, but like from player rating 0 to 1,000, your cards are capped at level 1. And then from 1,000 up, they're capped at level 3. And okay, probably up to 2,000, we might guess. And then I would guess it's like level 5.
Okay.
To then 3,000.
So Paul's losses aren't because they had higher leveled cards?
No.
No.
Although
they're playing the game better than I play the game.
They're just playing it better.
And like all the time.
Sounds like you need to learn to play. I think that.
So I was tempted to like go like read guides. And stuff. Yeah. I was like, no, I don't want to. I like, this is a phone game. I'm not that invested. Instead, I'm just going to flail my arms and lose.
Sometimes that's the thing, though, is like I've definitely played games where it's like, you know, I thought I was doing real well. And then you play against like real people and you realize there is like more levels of skill above, and like just knowing that levels you up yourself, you know, you're like, oh my god, like all these, this like whole world of new strategies has like kind of opened up that I didn't actually like think was a thing before.
One of the things I struggle with is that there are so many units that you can use that it gets really hard to figure out which things you need to swap out to have like a strategy that works, because usually, well, the way I've been playing, right, is like mostly PvE, so I figure out a strategy that like does really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Which against a few different ones, you need to like swap out a certain unit or something. Yeah. But then you go into a PvP match, and it's not just swap out a certain unit anymore. It's probably play something else.
Yeah, it's weird because in the PvE thing, your levels matter a lot because there are level caps.
Yeah.
And there's a system in the game where your units will get their levels boosted for certain like synergies. Like if you're playing a horde hero, they'll have a couple of horde slots that will give your horde units like extra levels basically, or whatever else. In PvP,
it has plus levels.
Yeah, in PvP that doesn't exist really. I mean, because at least on our low levels, because we're past level 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
So that is irrelevant. And so in PvE, you're building kind of to take advantage of these extra levels and then fill in some gaps.
Mm.
And in PvP, you have to basically make a new deck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get really frustrated with the PvP as well. I get more annoyed by losing it in a 3-minute game.
Yeah.
Than like in a 20-minute Hearthstone game.
Yeah, there's like,
you know what I mean?
Like thinking. Because I played a lot of Hearthstone, and like the difference between like you had the PvE matches, but like I was still using the same strategies in both PvE and PvP, and doing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean in this game you have to build different decks as well. To in PvE you learn what you're about to fight, and you can build a deck around what you're gonna fight.
It's very tactical. It'll be like you specifically want to swap out a unit because the level you're fighting has 3 things that spawn on the right hand side, and you need a perfect counter for that, otherwise you lose.
I know exactly the one you're talking
about. Yeah.
The Huntresses.
Oh yep.
My god. That one took me a while. The one that took me the most time so far is it's called Blood Mage Thalnos. And on the left
hand, the one I'm stuck on.
Oh my god, it's awful.
Yeah.
On the left hand side there's a bunch of Banshees.
Mm-hmm.
And Banshees will claim a unit. Like
they'll possess it.
Possess it and take it to you. It becomes your opponent's unit.
Oh, yeah.
And those banshees protect chests full of gold. And the opponent is sending units down that side to claim those chests full of gold.
Yep.
And they're protected by things that will turn your any units you try to send that way into their units. And so there are ways to counter it. Mm. Like chickens. You play chickens and you get like 10 chickens. The banshee will possess one chicken and the other nine will kill it.
Yeah.
You know what doesn't work though? When your chickens are chickens in a crate and they possess the whole crate and send the whole crate back at you.
Okay. Now you bring up an interesting point. There is a whole other mechanic in this game, which is talents.
Yes.
And talents change the behavior of units, including in PvP. And you, again, have no transparency over what your opponent has.
Yep. Yep.
I was fighting my opponent, and their troll spearmen started healing.
Yeah, and you'll be like, what the heck?
Yeah, I've never seen it before or since. But their troll spearmen
was
healing with attacks. Like, it had life.
Like leech.
Yeah.
Oh, man, which I want
is,
that.
I want that too, yeah. But the only way I can get that is basically spending money.
Oh no!
So this is where things get a little more dicey from like a PvP balance perspective. Mm. You still have no transparency over what your opponent is playing, including any talents they have, and their talents come from like essentially spending money or gold. And the level caps do nothing for that, and there's like no way to counter what your opponent's talents are.
Yeah.
You just discover them in the middle of the match.
That's a bummer.
And you kind of have to guess if there's a talent at play. Mm. For example, I fought a Karen Bloodhoof that just kept reviving. Huh. I don't know. I've never seen that one. The talent that keeps coming up for me for Karen Bloodhoof is it after the stun, units are dazed for 5 seconds. And I've never bought it because that doesn't sound very good.
Hmm.
Because what I care about is chain stun.
Yeah.
Nothing for me.
Yeah.
I also don't know what daze does.
I think it slows them down.
That would be my guess. Because
I thought it was a stun, and I got it on the flame. What's it called?
Flame
Waker? Flame Walker.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh man, he's gonna like do a big fire thing and also do a stun.
Yeah.
And it's just a slow.
Yeah. So there, that's fun. You spent a bunch of gold on something that you thought was a different thing, and now you can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And cool. I think to get the next one, you need to upgrade your dude again.
You need
another 3 stars to get the next talent, right?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it goes up to 10.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It does feel like the kind of game, it really feels like it's very easy to brick your account. It's one of the, like, this happens a lot in mobile games where you get a lot of resources early on.
Yeah.
And then
you spend on the wrong things.
And then to fix that, you actually need to start over.
Yeah. You haven't heard the most egregious version of that in this game. So no. I was doing a little bit of reading. So we've got this PvP, this PvE mode. I think there's 75 levels at the moment.
Yeah.
When you have finished 50 of them, you unlock hardcore versions of them.
Hmm.
I think that's what they're called. Or
heroic
versions, yes. I think it's just harder versions of them, like possibly with new mechanics, obviously higher level. So you're going to have to spend a bunch of money or whatever to level up your dudes.
Hmm.
And to get more badges, okay, so you need the badges to dictate how many levels you can play. Like, you get a badge per level beaten.
Mm-hmm.
And then to do the first raid. There's a whole raid thing. It's Anixia's Lair. You need 100 badges to access Anixia's Lair, which means you have to have done at least 25 heroic versions of these.
Hmm.
The problem is, to get badges in heroic mode, you have to beat the same level with a hero from all 5 races.
Oh, wow.
Ah.
So if you haven't bought a hero from one of those races, you can't get a badge.
Hmm.
Interesting.
And you get heroes by getting badges primarily.
Yeah.
So if you say forget to buy one of the Blackrock heroes.
Yeah.
And there's only 2 of them.
Right.
And you've done all of your 75 levels, and you don't have any more hero choices left. In order to get the next Blackrock hero, you have to buy it from the store.
Wow.
And the store also only sells a certain kind of hero per week.
Oh, geez. What?
So, oh, really?
So it is currently Blackrock.
Yeah.
Oh, so it, was just it matches up to the dungeon?
Yes.
Because there's a weekly dungeon, right. And that requires a leader of whatever that faction is as well. Faction.
So if I didn't have a horde leader, I'm not going to be able to do a dungeon for 5 weeks. I'm not going to be able to finish a heroic thing, get a badge for 5 weeks.
Jeez,
that's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can basically lock yourself out of progress.
And there's no way to know going into it that you need.
Correct.
Yeah, you discover it yourself.
You would unlock heroic mode.
Oh.
I mean, you'd unlock it at 50,
yeah.
Or whatever. So in theory, you've got 25 levels to figure it out. But if you're like, I'll save heroic mode for when I finish the rest of the
levels, yeah.
You get screwed.
Wow. Basically.
Yeah.
Well, and then you have to wait until it shows up in the store.
You have to wait for the store to cycle around.
If it's, what, 5 weeks per cycle?
It's a week per cycle, but it's five races.
I'm curious how long it takes to get from like zero to raid if you haven't
spent money.
If you haven't spent money anyway. Because it feels like a very, very slow game. Like it feels like a lot of the, like even at the point, like once I hit like level 30-ish, the game felt like it slowed down a lot. Then it was a lot more do quests rather than just complete the level.
Yes. The quests are going to be, unless you're PvPing and are good at PvP and winning a lot, the fastest way to level up is you spend a bunch of money or you do quests.
Yeah. Oh, and the Arclight Search thing, which...
That doesn't give you bonus experience.
No, it doesn't, but it gives you like... You get 600 gold, I think, from completing that.
I think 400, but yeah. It's
200. Oh, yeah, it is. It's five things of 40 a pop.
Yeah. And then so that gold goes towards buying units or experience.
Yeah,
which generally you want to buy units because the more units you have, the higher collection level goes, and the more experience you get from everything.
Yes, I didn't know that. I spent a bunch of gold on experience, and
so that could break your account.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah,
so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So you played a lot of Clash Royale, right?
Yeah, I got really good at it.
Yeah, and you never spent any money in it.
That's right.
And how long did you play it for? Like all up, do you reckon?
A few months, probably.
Do you see yourself playing this for as long?
I don't know. I want to beat the PvP, the PvE stuff.
Yeah.
But that means like either doing a lot of PvP, which I don't enjoy all that much.
Yeah.
Or like leaning into like the quests and the grind of like just endlessly replaying the same.
In Clash, was it PvP? That you enjoyed in that?
They pretty much only had PvP in Clash.
Okay. I can't remember. Like,
but yeah, in Clash, it was much simpler as well.
Yeah.
There were at least when I was playing, there were fewer units, there weren't heroes, and you could see what your opponent was playing, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So you could kind of plan your first moves or, wait for play responsively rather than, like, aggressively.
It also felt like things cost less and you gained energy faster or something. Like, it really feels like in Rumble.
Yeah.
Like, if you spend all your gold, you're waiting a long time before you can go again. If you didn't manage to collect any resources from your play. And I don't know how long it actually is to go from, like, zero to full 10 gold, but...
Yeah, I think... I feel like it's 3 or 4 seconds per gold pip. Which,
yeah, so then you're looking at like 30 seconds of not playing anything.
Yeah. Now, the highest cost unit in the game is 6.
Yeah.
So that's not like a crazy long time, but if you've just played a 6 drop and it gets hard countered, that sucks.
Yeah.
And you might have played it intending to get like a chest or something, right?
Yeah.
That to recoup some of your losses to go again, that gets countered and then it's just...
Yeah. Or they banshee it, and and now it's their 6 draw. Anyway, it's got some fun things. The PvE is actually really good. It's clever little levels. There's often a strategy to figuring out like, actually, if I do this path and then this path and this path, I can actually win really easily.
Yeah.
Did you do last week's dungeon?
Yeah.
The Horde one.
Yeah.
The final level of that was like absurdly cool. For how simple the game is.
Yeah.
Once I figured out the strategy for that,
It took me one or two tries. Like, I think I lost the first one, and then I was like, oh, I should probably... I think I was going left side, then right side, and I was like, actually, go right side, then left.
Yeah, go right side first. Because there's... So there was a... It's three lanes. You've got a warrior on the left-hand side mm-hmm. and a mage on the right-hand side. And then at the end, there's a boss with a healer behind him.
Hmm. It was the Dire Maul dungeon in...
Yes.
In World of Warcraft.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a recreation of the boss fight from that.
Right.
So it's like... four different ogres and they, or I think maybe one of them is like a blood mage or something. Anyway.
Yeah, one of them is.
They each have like slightly different traits. One of them will like mortal strike, which means that the healing is reduced on mm-hmm. his target, but you can take control of it so that like you can mortal strike the boss and prevent mm-hmm. the healer from healing it.
Yep.
Or you can even kill the healer. Mm. But to kill a healer, you have to like angle bosses a certain way.
Which means getting the right hand side to go up faster right. so that the boss moves over to the right, leaving the healer behind.
It's what you guys describe, it sounds like a puzzle.
It's like a puzzle strategy game. Yeah. That's why the PvE mode's really fun. Mm. It's combining like the fun strategy elements and puzzle elements.
Yeah. And the PvP just
PvP is more like roll the dice. Yeah. Sorry, you're facing a guy who has only stealth units.
Yeah.
And so you lose. Because you don't have... Oh, by the way, stealth in this game is... I played a deck, and I think it may be the most annoying deck in any kind of game I've ever played.
Really?
Ever. So there's a unit called a Goblin Sapper. It's just a goblin that carries a bomb, and it deals a ton of damage to towers.
Yep.
I played a deck where the whole strategy was to drop Goblin Sappers and then stealth them.
Oh, wow.
And...
That's awful.
The only way you can... counter that is to have a spell available that kills the Goblin Sappers, but the Goblin Sappers move fast and you might not have a spell in your cards in the cards in your hand because your hand rotates and I think if you get hit three times you lose.
Wow.
So that was the guy's deck.
That's actually awful.
And there was so like he gets a free hit in because I don't know what he's gonna play and then he gets the next hit in because, like, my spell isn't available. And then at this point, I'm down to, like, barely any health on my tower.
And that's probably what, like, how much do the Goblin Sappers cost?
I think maybe two.
Yeah, and then the spell itself is only, like, three or something.
The minimum cost to, it's always going to be a lossy exchange. Now, the only thing, or a break even, because the stealth thing is one, right? So he drops the Sappers and then stealth, that's three.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, the best outcome I can cope for when countering that is a flat trade.
Yeah.
And then the rest of that is just like,
he's doing it.
He's sending his stealth units out to claim chests.
Yeah.
Because I can't counter them because they're stealth.
What a pain. Mm.
It was obscenely annoying. And I lost, and like, what do I do about that?
But doesn't that, yeah, I know, because if you were like, okay, I'll make a deck
that counters that. And then I don't see that one again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I make a deck that's... If I want to make a deck like that, I have to wait for the right cards to cycle through the store.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. Really, really annoying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because at least in, like, Hearthstone, you can just... You can just, like, craft specific cards.
Yep.
I remember. Yes. Like, you dust all the ones that you don't want, and then... Because I remember I would be like, okay, there's specific cards I've seen in play...
Yeah.
That are really cool, and I want them.
Yeah.
So I'd go and basically pay dust to get them. And then I'm like, great.
Yeah, you get your core card.
Yeah.
And you can fill in some gaps with whatever you've got available. And you.
Yeah, get, like, I'm not like, having to wait to hopefully maybe get a chance to get one.
Yep. Yeah.
Like if you could just buy all the cards that you need... Like Hearthstone wise, would that actually be better?
I mean,
because
I
then
think
it
so.
Still is. It still is like you're paying money to just get the stuff that you want.
Yeah, but you're already doing that.
Are you? Like, are you?
I'm not. But like,
but other people are.
Yeah.
But the way I know the way that you play is you never spend any money.
Generally.
Or at least you get as far as you can without spending money.
Yeah.
I just remember too. There's the hero that they released in the shop this week. that's the archer. And when she dies, she possesses someone.
Sylvanas.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is as awful as the Banshee, but also it's a ranged unit before that.
Yeah. Now, I played someone who had that.
Yeah.
And I stomped them.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I saw it once and just got, like, completely screwed. But I was playing a lot of high-cost units. Yeah.
So I had, again, this is, I got lucky because I had perfect counters.
Mm.
That unit costs 6 gold to play. And I had a 4 gold skeleton party, which I could place anywhere on the map. Places 5 skeletons, 3 of them are ranged.
Yep.
And I would just place them literally on top of the hero. And the hero would die, and then the Banshee would possess one of the skeletons, and the remaining skeletons would kill that last skeleton.
That's good.
So it was like a hard counter
yep.
with some skeletons left over, and it costs 2 gold less.
Mm.
So it was pure luck.
Yeah.
But if I was playing, for example, my Lava Golem deck, that Lava Golem costs 6.
Mm.
It's a huge, heavily armored, very slow-moving unit. And it would hit Sylvanas, and Sylvanas would die. And then that would be her golem.
Yeah, and she'd possess it. Yep.
And then I would be out of gold.
Yeah.
So it's all very luck-dependent.
Yeah. It does sound like way more luck-based than other card games.
There's one more element I don't think I mentioned, which is the experience during PvP. Like, when you win, you get 5 times the amount of experience you'd get
from,
winning anything else, except for maybe a quest. I think quests maybe give about a half to a third of a PvP win.
Right, okay.
So it's like a PvP win is by far the most efficient way to level up your unit.
Yeah.
So power players will lose PvP games intentionally.
Is this so they lower in the rank? They
lower their rating. They literally don't play any units for the first
time. There's no penalty for losing.
No. No, they just...
So you just keep yourself at a lower rank and then just blast through a bunch of wins.
Yes. And that makes leveling in early, like trying to play through early ratings, a complete dice roll again of like, am I playing someone who's actually legitimately this low, or am I playing someone with a crazy deck who's actually meant to be like 2,000 points higher and they spent a bunch of money already and they're just trying to power level.
I mean, that doesn't even sound... That's just...
I knew they were better than me.
Yep.
That's players just finding the most efficient way to do something.
Yep.
And it's completely against how...
It's using the system they were given.
Yeah.
Not as it was intended, but that's ultimately...
Yeah, yeah.
This is what happens when you incentivize PvP wins.
If you have to... Like, the annoying thing is that you have to... So you have to get experience to progress in the PvE.
Yes.
And the best way to get experience is PvP.
Yes.
Like, that just seems annoying to me.
Yes.
You can still get a lot in PvE, though.
And you said there's, like, quests and stuff like that, but you said it's, like, real grindy?
The quests are really... Yeah, so quests are old levels you've beaten before.
Right.
Usually 2 or 3 levels below whatever level you're currently at. So it's, like, easy, kind of thoughtless.
Yeah.
And then the result, like, the reward, the experience reward is about half.
But then that's not a satisfying experience. And then the PvP is not a satisfying experience either.
You do get, like... 3 rewards a day that you get for completing any content, I think.
Yeah, any match you win, including PvP, you'll get some bonus rewards.
Yeah.
So there's like a pretty good incentive to do like 9 quests or something just to get through, to get those bonuses.
Yep. Mm. But if your goal is, I want to beat the PvE,
yeah.
I need to level up my cards, the fastest way to do that is to lose PvP and then win PvP.
Yeah.
It that only works if you can win PvP.
Yeah,
yeah, true.
So I'm scratching for quests.
You make it seem like maybe the PvP thing is just full of people purposely losing matches constantly. So even the ones you win is because people were just.
Yeah,
losing
I'm
on
losing
purpose.
To them.
Yeah.
They never play any units.
They didn't play any units, and somehow I still lost.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the draw mechanic. I do not like the draw mechanic.
Oh, yeah.
So you have a time limit on a whole match, and when you go into overtime, you start getting gold at double the normal rate.
Oh, okay,
now,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure Clash Royale had this exact same mechanic.
Yeah, I remember...
Hmm.
Yep.
I don't know if it was Clash or was something else had something where you start getting like double. Yep. Yeah.
So in Clash, then the winner is determined by whoever has the the most towers remaining. Like, because you start off with three, and then you end up with, like it's the main last one that wins the match, right?
Yeah.
In Clash. And so if you've got three and your opponent has two, you win. In this, when you get to the last 10 seconds, you only have one tower the whole time, basically. And in the last 10 seconds, both towers just start taking damage.
Oh, God.
And so whoever has less health on their tower at the start of that 10 seconds is probably going to lose. Even if you have a huge wave of enemies that are 3 seconds away from your opponent's tower, if you had slightly too little health, you just lose.
Mm.
Mm.
And there's 3 seconds left on the clock. So what's the point of that?
And it could be like just a spell to push the difference or something.
It could be, It's
I don't like the being able to just spam spells at bases side of it so much either.
Yeah, Clash Royale had a similar mechanic, and generally, as long as the spells are not efficient, it's not a huge problem.
Mm.
But there are, I think, there are some also just core balance issues. I think Blizzard is the best spell in the game.
Yeah,
it does.
It feels absurd.
Great damage over time, slowing all the units in it over a big area.
Mm.
And the next best spell is like Execute, which does proportional damage instantaneously, and it's like really specialized. So it's like, oh, I'm playing a tank, Execute.
Hmm.
Yeah, isn't there a, doesn't one of the skills take off half health or something?
That's execute.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But a half health of a squad of chickens is, like, not good, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Blizzard is universally good.
Hmm. Yeah.
And it costs one gold more than execute,
which is, can like, you use execute on a base?
Yep.
Yeah.
It doesn't do half health. It just doesn't?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't actually get it. I just read the tooltip and was like, "Hmm."
Yeah, it's not as good as it sounds. I've used it in a few decks, and again, it's specialized.
Yeah,
it can be good against like Tyrion who heals.
Yeah,
because like you get him down to half health and you just kill him.
Yep,
you don't have to worry about the heal. But Blizzard also does that.
Yeah, true.
And it also takes care of the squad behind him or whatever. So.
Mm.
I would be shocked if Blizzard didn't go up to like 5 gold or get damage nerfed or something, because that spell is OP as heck.
Yep.
The Living Bomb is a spell that costs 6 gold and does basically what Blizzard does. But is also specialized. It's like only against squads, please.
Right. Huh.
Anyway. That's Clash Royale. No, Clash that's yep. Warcraft Rumble. It's
you just peeled off the Warcraft Rumble and there's
Clash Royale. Clash Royale. I didn't even talk about the fact that some of the units are like stray copies as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a Wolf Rider that is basically the Hog Rider. There is, there's like the Soldier Squads, and there's like Soldier Squads in Clash Royale. There's like some of the spells. A Blizzard is a basically direct copy of a spell from Clash Royale.
Mm.
Some of the units are like, we'll build Clash Royale just as a, we're using our own engine just as a prototype to see if we can make it fun.
Yeah.
And then they forgot to change some things.
Yep.
There are some very Warcraft characters too, though.
Of course.
Like the Pudge dude. Was it Stitch?
Stitch, yes. Stitch.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Who is a fantastic unit, I think.
He's very strong.
Yeah.
Probably the best tank. There's a few units that are like also just power spikes in my opinion. That one, the Huntress.
Yeah, the Huntress.
Another very OP unit that has basically like two hard counters, and one of them is Pudge or Stitch or whatever his name is. Anyway.
That sounds good. But you play it? Probably not.
Play it with us. Join our guild.
Probably not. Join the guild. If you like pants.
I do like pants.
Yeah. You'll fit right in.
Do you want our listeners to join?
Yeah.
Sure.
Maybe.
Okay.
All right.
Our guild name is OCE Pants on Leg. No, Pant on Leg.
Pant on Leg.
OCE space Pant space on space leg.
But probably only join if you like Pant on Leg. Cause...
Yeah. If you'd like no Pant on Leg, keep it to yourself. Blake. Really got to start wearing pants to these podcasts, by the way.
I refuse. It's my house. All
right. We're basically out of time, but I'm just going to read one very short comment.
There's a good long one there about Cyberpunk.
I see that.
I'm keen as to play Cyberpunk, but I reckon I'm going to probably play it in my Christmas holiday, which is coming up in like 5 weeks.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah, I've heard it's good.
I've heard they've made that game fine.
I enjoyed, like, I think I talked about this maybe at the beginning of the year or last year, because I started playing it again and played a different build and had a way, way better time. So for the game to actually be overall better now, I should have a fantastic time.
I like the idea of playing it again. I liked it the first time until it started really breaking.
Oh, yeah. Like, when did it start breaking?
Oh, there were like cutscenes that were just not done. And
were you playing it like right when it came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like one of the cutscenes I remember like was just like blocky models moving around. The cameras weren't working and shit. It was an actual disaster.
There was constant like floating cigarettes was a big thing.
Yeah.
People sitting on chairs that weren't there. People drinking like whiskey from a glass that isn't in their hand. All that kind of stuff.
Oh,
like,
oh yes. Yeah. Have you guys seen the Kong Skull Island cutscene, by the way?
But I've seen footage of it, and I don't understand how that game was made.
Quickly and with no money, I think is the answer.
I guess, but...
All right, well,
I just don't understand. It's a thing where I thought we were past the days where the cover art looked better than the game.
No.
But, man, that cover art's pretty nice.
Here's the thing. I think the giveaway is in the publisher's name. The publisher is called Game Mill.
Oh, no. Just turn them out.
Yeah, literally just get the games out the door. Just churn doesn't matter what the quality is. We'll get the
but
license.
It's like King Kong is definitely licensed by someone, right?
I would assume so.
Like someone holds that license and would...
Probably, yeah. Game Mill holds that license.
I mean, if it's Game Mill, they figured they can
make more money by having a game called Kong Skull Island than actually building the game inside of it.
Like, yeah.
Don't worry about making it good. The name alone will turn a profit. That would be my guess.
That's what I'm thinking as well. But that's what I'm wondering, like, who owned the license to it?
I don't know.
Like, someone, what is it like, you know, like a Warhammer
like
situation?
Paramount or something like that. It's probably the film production company.
Yeah, probably. And they're okay with them just churning out.
It's not like they're doing a lot with Kong at the moment.
I guess, but, like, it's just diminishing the brand, like,
What a brand. What a legacy to. When was the last time you saw a Kong movie?
Well, I mean, there was Kong versus Godzilla like a year or two ago.
Oh, was there?
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Kong is still there's literally a
Kong's
so
hot right
there's
now.
There's literally a like a one of the a new monster movie coming out next year, I think, like Monarch something, which is King Kong and Godzilla again.
They're doing another one?
They're doing another one. Round two.
Okay, well, I think that tells you everything you need to know about the license then, doesn't it? All right. I'll read out this one question. Thomas said, you asked for games to play that you guys might like. Star Valor, cheap ARPG in space.
Star Valor.
And Hades Star, a free space strategy for the mobile and crossplay with PC. Ooh. Much love from Sweden. Thanks, Thomas. We'll check them out.
Star Valor.
Star Valor. Or Hades.
I feel like I've heard of Star Valor.
I've heard of those two words.
I have heard those two words, but I'm pretty sure I've heard them together.
Age of Valor.
I'm wondering if it's like one of those top-down 2D space...
I sent you a thing.
...open thing. Did you?
Yeah, I sent you a link to a top-down
2D
space open something.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, this sounds like something you'd be into. And he said, yeah, actually.
Yeah. There's a few of those kind of games around I've seen.
Blake, I'm trying to end the show.
Man, it's been 3 weeks. I just wanted to chat.
Yeah, let's do a special 3-hour episode.
That's true. Maybe next time. Next time I want to talk about Elden Ring.
Yeah.
I'm playing it. I have many thoughts. All right. You can email frontseatquestion@gmail.com. Email Blake, why don't we talk about Elden Ring next time? Just say that as the headline. We want to hear more game recommendations.
Yep.
We love you. We'll be back, hopefully, in a couple of weeks. I think we said that last time, and then it took, like, a month and a half.
Hopefully, just in...
Sometimes you trip.
Yeah.
Sometimes you trip. Thanks, Paul. Bye!
Are you excited that Metzen is back?
He's fine. Yeah, I guess. Like, he's the storyteller, right? And it's all just soap opera. It's never. There's no like massive subversion of tropes. If anything, they lean deeper and deeper into the standard tropes.
He's like the fan favorite though. Like,
yes,
he did
the like original art stuff, right?
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff.
And that was all quite dark and stuff, which is sort of I mean, from what I understand, I haven't actually seen much of the newer WoW stuff, but I think it's gone very more fantasy in the other direction.
Yeah.
He is their Eric, right? Like he is their creative director.
And, yeah.
Like there's a lot of beloved characters that he came up with. Like Thrall is probably the most interesting character.
Yeah.
And
he voices Thrall.
Does he?
Yeah.
He voices a bunch of characters, I think.
So yeah.
It's I can see why as a fan you'd want Metzen back, especially if like things have gone not in the direction you wanted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, people like my mates still play a lot of WoW, and it really is that Shadowlands expansion kind of really just broke a lot of players.
Yeah,
where it just felt like the storyline was just being made up as they went along.
I mean, it is.
No, but like, it has been for years. But patch to patch being met, like almost like. Like laying the track down right in front of the train, you know, not like a mile down the track, right in front.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
I don't know. I wasn't involved, but also if they had a change in creative direction, like if Metzen left, and then they have a new creative lead, there were probably some changes in plans and some.
Mm.
So you know that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah,
because you must have watched a bunch of BlizzCon then.
Yeah, yeah. I watched.
So you would have seen all the announcements and stuff.
Yeah, but because I don't play WoW, and here's the thing, I don't play much Blizzard games anymore. So a lot of it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
Like, especially WoW. Like, I haven't, it's like at the moment, I'll be like, oh, that's really cool. And then 2 days later, I'm like, what was even announced?
Yeah.
Well, we've been playing Rumble.
Rumble.
Warcraft Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about that.
That seemed like a really, really good game.
It's, I mean, if you played Clash Royale.
Yeah.
It's Clash Royale. It's Clash Royale with a good PvP mode, rather.
Yeah.
But, like, functionally, a lot of the mechanics, and even, we can talk about it specifically, but even some of the units were torn straight out of Clash Royale. Which, to be fair, Clash Royale takes some inspiration from Warcraft in its, like, art style.
Yeah.